Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all here, and it's good to be back. We had a great time last weekend getting away and celebrating post-anniversary by a few weeks, but seemed like all last weekend, every time we get ready to go out, it was pouring down raining and lightning and thundering. So we had to kind of sit a few times in the hotel lobby and just wait, and it flooded. One more point there, it flooded the road where we had to get out. And so it was adventurous. But hey, it's God's good, and we're here, and it's good to be in God's house today. And I tell you what, today, this sermon is just really fitting. I'm going to be preaching on be strengthened in your heart. You know, it seems like there's a lot going on today, and days past, and you look kind of down the road, and sometimes it can be pretty hard. It can be pretty heavy. There's death, there's sickness, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's all kinds of conflict in this world, and we have to ask ourselves, is there a way that we can make it through this life? And yes, His name is God the Father. And He's given us so much of His love and so much of His power to make it through these adverse or times of adversity. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 31st chapter, verses 19 through 24. And I'd like to ask when you get there to please stand as I read from God's Word, if you're able to stand. Psalms 31, verses 19 through 24. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for He has made marvelous His loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you His godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage. All you who hope in God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just pray today, God, that we will take hope in You. There is no hope anywhere else. And Father God, You're the only one that can give us true joy, true contentment, and true peace. And Father, thank You for the reading of Your Word. Let us take Your Word and hide it in our hearts, that we may not sin against You. And Lord, use Your Word to strengthen us and build us up, Father, to be stronger Christian people. God, as I preach this message, let every word come from You. Through Your Holy Spirit, we give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I'm sure a lot of you would probably agree. Wouldn't it be great if we could always stay on the mountaintop? Wouldn't it be great if everything was always hunky-dory? Wouldn't it be fantastic if everything was always joyful? And why? Why would we like for everything to always be at peace or to be happy and joyful? Because when we're in those moments, we experience and enlightening, we don't have, you know, any pressures down. There's no negativity upon us. But when we're up on the mountaintop, we are experiencing a joy that God has given us. And I tell you what, I'd love to stay there too. But unfortunately, in this human life, we're going to go through valleys. Sometimes it's going to feel like, instead of walking through a valley, it's going to feel like that we're crawling through a valley. And there are times that we need to be strengthened. And I'll tell you something that's good about when we're going through the valley is God has placed Christian people in our life that we can turn to, we can call somebody in a time of need and let someone know what's going on in our life. And it's always good to know that there's brothers and sisters in Christ, even family members, who can be at our side. And that's great and wonderful, but we must never forget that our eyes must always first be fixed on God, because He is the only one who can strengthen our heart. I think one of the greatest joys what I experienced this past week and getting to preach Faye's funeral, getting to be with the family, getting to see the love in their time of need really minister to my heart, and getting to love and pray for them and to remember Faye's life. But you know, it's times like that we need our heart strengthened. When death occurs, when sickness happens, when we go through financial trials, it's very easy for our hearts to become discouraged in moments like that, in these days and times. One thing that can really get us down in life is sin. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." You see, everywhere around us, there's sin, there's immorality, and God, in His Word, He is looking down in Genesis chapter 5. He's looking down at the earth, and He's seeing the evil that's taking place in the heart of every living thing that He created. And that's not what God intended. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden, God intended for everything for them to be perfect. He had given them clear instructions not to eat of certain fruit in the garden of the tree of knowledge and life, and which they did, they both sinned. And it really makes me think that God, in His Word, is saying that He is even sorry that He created these people because of their wayward living. They were doing things by their own power. They were living by their own thoughts. They were going along to their own understandings. And God found favor with Noah, though, because Noah was a man after God's own heart. Noah trusted God through everything in life, that God would be with them, that God would provide for them, and that He would walk with them daily. Noah looked to God every moment of the day to strengthen his heart, and Noah knew that he could trust God no matter what the circumstance or the situation in his life. So because Noah and his family found favor with God, He had Noah build an ark and He spared them from the flood. But God wiped out for 40 days and 40 nights, wiped out His creation with the flood. So then we see that the earth is repopulated, the animals, the beasts, and all creeping things. And now let's look at our lives today. Where are we at? We see sin just running as rampant as it was back in those days when God destroyed the world with a flood. But today, sin has gotten even more evil. People are turning away from God. People are no longer turning to the one who has all of the answers to all the problems in our life. Every day that we look around, we see the immorality in this world. And I've mentioned this before. People turn on the news and all you see is garbage. And what happens when you turn on TV or turn on radio and listen to garbage or watch garbage? What happens to you? Now I want to honestly say this because I'm guilty of it. I am so guilty of it, and especially comes to music. I would say, you know what? I believe that I could watch that, or I believe I could listen to that, and I'm okay because I did my Bible study and my prayer time. I'm okay with God, so I could listen to that kind of country music and it wouldn't bother me. It won't have any bearing or effect on my life. Or the things that's, or the people that I hang out with at the workplace, or the ones that I consider friends, they won't have that kind of a, because I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God, and I've got it made. Well, guess what? The more I started to hang around with those kind of people, the more that I started to watch the negative junk on TV, the more that I started to listen to the not-so-good country music, because I thought it was all going to make me feel good, be uplifting, what it started to do, it started to stain my very heart, and I was being blinded by the devil. See, the devil puts things in your path to try and distract you from being close to God. Satan wants to steer you away at all costs because he doesn't want you to have a relationship with the Lord. And I'm telling you time and time again, you can turn on junk, you can take in junk, and that what you put in, that's exactly what's going to come out. If you continue to live in sin, if you continue to do things opposite of what God's Word says and what God's commandments are, then you will continue to fester in that sin, and you will continue to let sin take a root. And when that takes root in your life, guess what sin brings about in the end? It brings about death and destruction. I went to a church where I got a call. And they said, "Brother Jim, we've got this church up north of Cesar, Illinois. They closed the doors because they didn't have a preacher. And we want to try to, the people want to get together and have church again. Would you please go up there and take the helm and try to get that thing going in the right direction?" And I told them, "Well, I can't do it on my own." I said, "I got to have good people." I said, "God's got to be in this." Well, I went up to the church, and the very first Sunday, I got in there, and Sunday school got started, and people was bickering. This is what I heard in the room. And I step into the Sunday school room, and they're literally fighting, having an argument over something that happened some time back. And I could feel the tension in that room so thick, you could cut it with a knife. And I stepped in and said, "Hey, let's knock this, please. You're in God's house. This is Sunday. This is not the place for this. You are here to worship the Lord." And then we got into church, and church was about the same way. Nobody wanted to really listen to the sermon. Nobody was even there for God. Nobody wanted to receive from the Holy Spirit. They were there because they were used to doing a certain thing, and I could see right away that they had been living in sin, and I could clearly see that the enemy had taken over that church. And after so many months, I said, God, I can't do this anymore. If you're wanting me here, I'll stay. But if I don't belong here, it's time for me to go. And God said, it's time for you to go. I can only do so much, but it's until we lay aside the filthiness of sin and we start living by the righteousness of God, that's when we'll start to find true joy in our hearts and in our lives. In this world, with all of the troubles going on around us, there is a hope. Jesus is that hope. When Jesus ascended, before he ascended into heaven, he said, I give to you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, once we get saved, comes to live within us, and our hearts and our lives are completely transformed, and we are learning by the Holy Spirit how to grow and live. Are we perfect? No. Will you ever be perfect in the flesh? No. Only one was perfect in the flesh, and that was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But you know what you can do? You can decide in your life here's my favorite verse. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to make this point pretty clear. If you're not serving the Lord, it's going to show. You can try to hide it, but people are going to see it. People are going to know. The Bible says that we are known by our fruits. And sometimes we're known by the fruits we hang out with. I always make that a point, because sometimes we think hanging out with the wrong people still make things right, and it doesn't. I want to point this out too. I have to be careful. I have to set boundaries. You do. In life, you have to set boundaries, and you have to put these boundaries in place, and you have to say, I'm not going to let the enemy cross these boundaries. I am not going to let the devil come into my life and affect my work or my family or my health or even where I go to church. You have to put those boundaries down, and you have to say, Father, all that I have is yours. There's a verse in the Bible that God says, be still and know that I am God. What does that mean? Well, to be still, it doesn't mean that you're still hurrying around trying to get everything done under your own power and authority. That's not it. Being still before God means you put your hands down at your side, and in your weakness and futility, you say, Father, I can't do this. I need you. I need you to touch my heart and life. And I'm telling you, there's times in life where we're going to want to turn to people and we're going to want someone to comfort us, and that someone won't be there. And there's going to be that time in life where we have to look up and say, God, my heart trusts in you because you have never left me and you have never forsaken me. Like I preached in my funeral message on Wednesday, God's never left us and God's never forsaken us. It might seem like He has gone far away from us when we're going through these adversities and trials, but God is very near, and that brings me to my next point. In verse 22, it says, as for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. You ever felt like that? You ever been to a place where you just felt like, man, I'm here all by myself. Nobody knows. Nobody understands. Nobody can even know the depth of my sorrows right now, or my depression or grief or sadness. And I want to tell you this to comfort you. God knows. And let me tell you this too. You're not the only one who's had to stand in those kind of shoes before. There's always somebody else around you who has been exactly where you are right now. And there are times that we have got to say, Father, and it's in James chapter 5, resist the devil. Resist the devil means turn your back on him. Get away from the things of the world. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Get away from sin. But you are to submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw yourself nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Now, did you catch that? When will God bring himself to us? When we come to him. When we come to him, he embraces us. He holds us close. See, God's not a feeling. And that's one thing that drives me batty when someone says, well, I just don't feel God. Well, when I got saved, I didn't get hit with a lightning bolt. Well, that's because when you got saved, it's not a feeling. It's a true change that took place in your heart and in your life. And God's not a feeling. God said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So when you are sitting there and your emotions feel like they're hanging on by the last little thread of skin, and you think, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't take it, Father. I'm about to go crazy. That's when God is saying to you in His Word, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what the Lord is saying to us. He never meant for this battle to be yours and mine all alone. If He gave us the Holy Spirit to be a comfort and a guide, then that means He is always with us. God is nearer than you think. Satan always wants you to believe that He's far away. But that's when I think it's time we take the devil to divorce court. I do. I believe that. I believe that we need to make up divorce papers and write your name and tell the devil, I'm divorcing you. I'm not having you in my house anymore. I'm not having you in my life. You're not running the show anymore, and you need to serve him the divorce papers and send him packing with his bags, because he has no business, he has no authority in your life. And he does not control you unless you let him control you. As a child of God, you are a servant of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus. You are blessed. You are prosperous and joyful, and there is so much that God wants to give to you. If you look at Job's life, oh man, Job had everything. And then all of a sudden, God allowed Satan to inflict upon Job sores all over his body. For Job to lose everything, to lose family members in death. And Job still sat there, even with his wife, saying, you might as well curse God. Look what he's done. God didn't do that. That's the enemy. But Job still praised God. Now, I wasn't there with Job, and I didn't get to talk to him, so I can't tell you what he was saying or pondering in his heart from day to day. But I often wonder, did he get to that point where he said, I'm barely holding on. But God, I turn it over to you. If you look to God and let God strengthen your heart, You can stand in the face of anything, whether it be sickness, trials, death, whatever it is, you can stand in the face of adversity, and you can proudly and boldly proclaim that God is in charge and God is leading this battle, and I am walking in victory no matter how it feels. Remember, it ain't about feeling, though. It's what you have here in your heart. Remember God's promise, what the Bible says. Psalm 9, 9 and 10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. I'm going to read that again, that part. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Boy, that's right there. If we make God our refuge, then He's going to strengthen us and He's going to be with us. And He will not forsake us that seek Him. And I've heard people say, well, God's not working in my life. Then this is what I say. I don't try to be judgmental. I just say, you need to go back and look at your heart and see, are you following God? Are you trusting Him? Are you being still before the Lord? The Bible says that in all things we should praise God. Every situation. You know, at my mother's bedside after she had passed away, that was the hardest thing that I ever faced, was losing my mama. But at her bedside, all I could do, Father, I take joy and I thank you that she's in heaven. And I preached that on Wednesday too, as well. We're going to go through things. We don't know what they are from day to day, but there's times we'll not always be on the mountain. But here's what I want to encourage you with today. If you always give it to God, He'll always be there. If you seek Him, He will come after you. He will be there for you. And when you come up against the hard times in life, when it's time to come down off the mountain and it's time to go through a valley, you can say, I've got peace because I'm walking with my Savior. He's the lily of the valley, the bright in the morning star. Somebody asked me once, why do we have to go through the valley? Why can't life be good all the time? I said, you know what? I believe this. If life was good all the time, then would we be counting on God if every day was good? You know what we'd do? We would forget. I believe that. If every day was really good, we would forget about God. Honestly, ask yourself, how many times have I had a really good day and I did forget about God? I forgot to thank Him. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Boy, if the red lights could flash, guilty. Yeah, I've had great and wonderful days and I have forgot to thank God for them. But let me tell you what, I try not to let a moment go by that I don't thank the Lord for my health. Do I feel good every day? Not really. Do I hurt? Yes, I hurt physically. I go through things. I'm 55, getting on 56 now. It was funny. Betty was downstairs at the meal. 98 years old. Is it Betty Stearns? Okay. Betty Stearns, I was kidding with her. She said, honey, how old are you? I said, 55. She says, well, I'm 98. I said, you're a young spring chicken. I'm an old man. And she said, honey, I got children older than you. And we just kind of cracked up laughing. But you know, I thank God every day that I'm alive. I thank God that I have Him in my life. I thank God for the people He's put in my life and the blessings I have. I don't have a lot, and I don't ask for a lot. All I want is Jesus. And all I want the world to know is Jesus. So, if you seek the Lord and let Him strengthen your heart, He will be your source of true joy for everyday living.